This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under Stewardship Resources or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a Deacon and Trustee Seminar held on August 5, 2025 in Arthur, Illinois.
Good afternoon and greetings in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here. My cup is full, and I'm sure yours is too. So being on the caboose end of everything, we're going to try and certainly don't go over our time. And it's been good. It's been really good. A lot of lessons on what just the compassion and a little act of love can do versus us big guys trying to make the boat rock, or if that's, you know. I'm agreed with all what I'm glad I was here to listen to the others' topics. It was all good. A lot to learn, a lot to take home and to apply. I feel sort of young, and I feel unworthy to be a part of this. I'm not here with any answers. But I hope you can sense and feel I'm here to help. And that's hopefully that's enough. Like John and some of the others said, we all have money, and we all got time. And Myron's question was, why? Why did he put this little 8-pound baby bundle down? Why did we land here? And what's my response to it? There's a lot to think, and I'm going to be jumping around, I'm sure, and hopefully we can get some sense out of this. Prosperity and money and how do we react, and it sort of boiled down all day about our special needs children. A couple years ago, we had a neighbor daughter. She was Downs. Her name was Lisa, 33 years old. Life got sort of tough physically, and finally she died of congested heart. And since she was a Downs, it brought a lot of other Downs people there too. And the service was touching. I'll have you know, the bishop and everybody was touched. But what we seen of those folks and people going passed the coffin the last time, everybody cried. I don't remember, was it on the way home or sometime, I think I told my wife, today we met with our Christian leaders, and just like Myron said, who is special needs, just stuff like that. To sum things up, my part and what we heard today, opportunities are always a lot bigger going than coming. Myron, I don't know who it was, or what he said something about being self-aware, and that's, I'm just amplifying that. Opportunities are always a lot bigger going than coming. We got a bishop in our area. He lost his first wife through cancer. He remarried, and after that, I was sitting under his service doing a wedding service, and he told us, he humbled himself and he told us he thinks he's a lot nicer to this lady now than his first wife. That takes a man to admit that. That's really something. Because he went through that span, he didn't have a wife. So now he's got one again and he realizes what he's got. So opportunities are always. Prosperity, to sum things up, what's going to stay here and what we're going to take along and all what we hear. Like I said, it's going to be messed up here. To summarize that, what we heard all day, and now we're going to talk about prosperity and how we dish this out. In Africa, third world country, a little guy, his little tin can, he sits on his tent, in his tent, dirt floor, and he's licking the last taste of his rice he had. He would have ate 2-3 times more if he would have had it. But he ate his rice and he was licking his dish because you wanted more rice. Then he puts his plate down, and in the conversation in Africa, in our language, it went like this. He said, Dad, over in America, when they eat, when they sit down to eat, they send around appetizers. What's going on with appetizers? What's that, Dad? And Dad scratches his head a little bit, and he's sweaty, and he's warm, and he stinks, and that's the way it is. And Dad goes, well, that's something they eat before they eat. And the little kid is like, he loved three full meals in 1 week. That's his thought pattern. So a little while later, he goes, Dad, but what I hear and read something about dessert. What does he mean? What is he talking about, dessert in America? Then Dad says, that's something they eat after they ate. Yeah, that's really something. We're eating three meals in one shot to the little kid. And he liked to have three in 1 week. So, but it's like Myron said, a lot of things I'd like to comment on, but we got to go on. We're here, and what do we do with it? Elms is elms, and yet is it? John, I think it was John, said something about the mites the poor widow gave. And Matthew tells me all the other guys, they put in a lot. I mean, it was quite a pile there. And she put two mites there. And if I'm right, two mites equal a farthing, if I can pronounce it, and one of those equals a quarter of a penny. That's the amount she put in. And our Savior goes, she put in more than all this. So what's happening here? What happened? God doesn't look at the hand, but the giver and the gift. Yeah, if I say it right. He doesn't look at the gift, but the giver. How was my heart conditioned when I gave my alms? He did more. After God took a hold of that, he multiplied that more than what it was there already. That's really sort of something if you think about it. Did you have children? Did you have the next meal in mind? She needed a new dress and all that, and she sacrificed all that. It's the depth she dug for those two mites. That's what God noticed. The depth she dug. So prosperity, and I'm gonna. We heard a lot about giving today, and I want to stay off of there, but in our prosperity, how do I guard against it? What's my proper response? What do I get in between prosperity and me? What do I get in there other than the Bible and the Word of God and the teaching? The more I study and watch the walk of Jesus, the more I give. And the more I give, the more I'm like Jesus. The more I watch the walk of Jesus, the more I give. We heard somebody say, it's like this, guys. We're born like this. A baby is born like this. We got to get it like this. We got to get it like this. If we're giving it away, prosperity, we're just opening our hands and giving it away what he gave us. We heard that all day, and I'm not trying to better everything. We're just trying to stay on my topic. I give after I got my $14,000 horse. I'm not pointing against anybody. I'm involved with this. It's like Myron said, all of us speakers today, every last one would admit there's nobody that gets more out of this topic than me. After I got the 6x6 elk on the wall, after I got my $15,000 gilding, after I got my $700,000 home, all this and that, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. In other words, I gauge my pocket. I watch where it's going. I'm not going to impress God, and I'm not going to scare Satan on my plans tomorrow. It's today. Don't get me wrong. We got to make plans and things happen. We got to make plans. But really, today, how much am I going to impress the church, the neighbors, and my wife, what I'm going to tell them my plans for tomorrow? It's what I do today. When I got this close to the bottom of my pocket, I draw back. I hold because I'm protecting something. And what is that? Pride and self. I'm protecting that. It's no sin or danger to see the bottom of your pocket. What did the poor widow see when she put in that last two mites? I say it again. It's not a danger or sin to see the bottom of your pocket and keep trusting what we just heard. We need money. We need time. It's the mixture. Chris said it's the mixture of the people and it's to see what others, what we make out of it and all that. And you know, it's, we need money. We need it, you know, to help out and whatever. But I'm at work. I get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and I go to work and I'm, you know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I got half production done. I'm sweating and I'm doing it. And what's my thought? What's my thought? The paycheck that's coming. What's really my thought? The Bible tells me the end of the world, the end won't come before the decay. It's got to be decay, and the decay comes within. And the money, we heard today, the mammon, the money, how much part of the pie of the decay before the end comes, how much of that pie is money related? How much is it related? I'm really agreed with what one of the guys said about us guys with gray hair. And the decay is going to come within. And our young married and our youth and our scholars have little or very little to do with the upfall, with the decay. Let's get that. I want to get that in me. I'm not supporting no beer party, and I'm not supporting a loudmouth seventh grader. That's not what I'm saying. But it's right here, guys. It's right here. How did I handle my money? I got one son. And when he married, he was 27 years old. The day of the wedding, we had, you know how it is. The emotions is like this, and it was a joyful day. But something hit me. He moved in our district, but in a lot of ways, in life in general, money, neighbors, and handlings, and wheelings, and dealings, and all this. How does he think about our bishop? What does he think about our neighbors? What does he think about the other ministers? How does he think about the church in whole? Exactly the way Dad does. And I'm not going to get around that. Yeah, it's sort of humbling. Who needs help? Who's dirty? And all that good stuff. We need to look for, send it ahead. Can I somehow give enough and give it in the right way? It sends it ahead. If I'm involved in church, and I deal the money and whatever, and if I have it right and if I give it in the right way, it's a shelter for me. It's an eternal shelter. If it's not a shelter, it's a showroom. And a showroom will crumble. Can I have an eternal shelter with my dealings, with my dollar? Because the way I help somebody in a quiet, trustworthy servanthood way. It's really sort of something. When you start thinking about it, how much of that pie is money related? I think it's Gary Miller. I got to check for sure. I, of course, waited too long to get ready, but I think it was Gary Miller. United States of America's got 5% of the world's population, people, and I think United States of America got 45% of the wealth of the world. And I'm one of those. We're one of those. And how do we deal with this prosperity? Is it mine? Do I live in entitlement? Am I entitled for another 10 acres? We heard 10 acres. We heard another horse. We heard this. Am I really going to give when I'm done with myself? And really what means that to God? When is Elms, Elms? And it sounds like I'm way off my topic, but how do I respond? What's the proper response to prosperity? And everything, I like to shoot for the middle here, guys, because if I got a $1,000 paycheck coming Friday and my daughter had a inner ear infection and she had a $2,200 bill and I got $1,000 to put on that bill, you know, am I really supposed to go and give $800 away and only have $200 for my bill? I mean, you know, common sense, guys. You know, and I know I'm talking to a group that uses common sense, but I'm afraid very often in my life, how much time, how much energy, and how much money did I waste in my 33 years of marriage just trying to keep up? Somehow, some way, we got to fit in. somehow, some way we got to mingle. I know that, but how costly is life just because I'm keeping up is my question. And what do I get in between? I'm keeping up. I got the latest. I got the antiques and I got the latest and all this. Well, what's the latest? So why do I want to pawn my soul off to trade for something that's going to stay here? Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain for what he cannot lose. That's the bottom of my topic. It don't take a whole lot more. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain for what he cannot lose. We don't have no bragging rights. We don't have a chip on our shoulders. We're not bragging about this. But we can have a gift. We can have things that nothing and nobody, no laser, no atomic bomb and nothing, no prosperity, no technology, nothing can take it away. Look at the treasure. Look at the treasure we might have if we keep our hands like this. If we keep our hands like this. 1 Corinthians, I should have wrote some more Bible verses down. 1 Corinthians says something about given as God prospered you. So, you know, it's like it was said already to me. You know, I have, personally, embarrassing to me, but I have problems with two people when I go down the road. We get to the first guy, and his weeds are growing, and the board fence is sagging, and the horse is scrawny, and the barn needs, you know, metal and all this, and I'm going, I talked to my wife, and I said, gee, that guy, why don't he clean up, you know, get with it. Mile down the road, I get somewhere with a tar drive, a pontoon, shutters and trees and a pond and everything. And I go to my wife, boy, that guy gets carried away a little bit. You know, I got a problem with two people. The guys that got less money than me and the guy that's got more. You know, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I deal all right with mine. But the guy above me and below me, they're out of whack. You know, that's just the way we think, or I think. And yeah, it's got to stop. What was his name? I'm afraid I'd say it wrong. A guy on the Titanic, the different classes, that was the biggest mistake in the Titanic. They classed people. But one guy was on there. He had $300,000 of jewelry, money, and knickknacks in a trunk. And what was it, 12? Oh, wait, 19, 8 or 12, something like back there, that was a lot of money, $300,000. And the minute came that trunk literally mocked his face, literally laughed in his face, and he grabbed three oranges. The minute came, three oranges that he could put in his pocket were worth more to him than that trunk full of $300,000 worth. So I'm on Titanic. I'm right with him. He looked Amish. He looked okay. He's doing somewhat okay. So he got these treasures on there. But the minute came, why not leave it at home or send it ahead so God could put a value to it? Same as he did with the two mites that the widow gave. Jenny Lind was a singer, soprano singer in 1850s. And if I got their numbers right, and the encyclopedia is not lying, she was really a good singer. Sweden, she taught a couple different things. She was taught a couple different things. A guy here in America knew there's money involved, so he invited her over here and offered her $1,000 a night for 150 nights. Now, those nights weren't back-to-back, but in the summer, in other words, till the fall, she would have had $150,000. And think about that back in the 1850s. She was that popular. She was that good. And one day she was off to the side reading her Bible all by herself after about halfway through this tour. She was reading her Bible and a girl walked up and commented on that. And she was popular and everybody, you know, patted on her back and all this. Then she asked her about why you're reading your Bible. And she said, well, if all this makes me not think of this, what's going to last, I better get to this. That wasn't exact words, but that's what you meant. If all this popularity and all these hours, all this singing and all this distracts me, gets my attention away from what's going to stay, she grew up to the point she thought she better leave it. And we all experience that as we grow older. Some of us played ball. Some of us played guitar or whatever. And finally, that stuff sort of, you know, hopefully growing up, that stuff gets less and less. And we give more attention to what's going to stay. Some more things here. To live for self destroys the freedom to love, care for someone more than yourself. Back to the pocket thing. Back to the pocket thing. If I'm down to the last inch, if I'm down to the last $500 and I'm not going to give alms because it's my last $500, who's first and who's on top? It's not the next guy. It's me. And that's not what God wants. Everybody else first. Everybody else first. The widow, everybody else was first. The big pile of money, it was just their overflow. It was the remaining money. And God did more with those two little guys than he did with the whole pile. He made more out of it. Yeah, it's really sort of something to think about it. How many times do you see a millionaire smile? So I'm smiling, hopefully. So, and another thing prosperity does, it makes us independent too easy. It makes us independent. We got this. We just buy. Instead of running to the neighbor and borrowing the mower, I just stop at the motor shop on the way home. $1,500, I got my weed ear or my mower or whatever. Millionaire, multimillionaires, I don't care who it is, nobody's so rich that can do without his neighbor. We heard that all day. We heard that all day. We have each other. Myron said something about who's the guy you don't like and all that. Intermingle in the church and helping each other and this and that. I learn in life, 9 times out of 10, the message comes through a guy that you got a little problem dealing with, just what Joseph shared when he looked in here and milled it down and got this in shape. A lot of times the message comes through people that we think we're this and he's down here. And yeah, it's not good. If I happen to have a rich grandpa or my dad passes away, and I'm going through life and got my place paid and my farm, my little place don't look too bad, and dad or somebody dies and I got $500,000. I get $500,000 or $200,000. If all of a sudden I got some money and I'm rich, one of two things will happen. God gets a partner or I'm going to lose my soul. One of the two. God's going to get a helper or I'm going to lose my soul. It's really sort of something. Back to the opportunities are bigger going than coming. To stay focused on the end of the world, and we heard a couple of times today about the judgment day, where the guilt won't, you know, it's radical, guys. It's really radical. We want to think about eternal values. Did you ever think about being in hell and knowing why you're there? Then on top of that, know why I'm there, so it's right. Then if something's right, it makes sense. Fire is only part of the torment. So I wish I'd keep more focus on the eternal values. Yeah, it's really sort of something if you think about it. A thing is worth for what it can do for you, not what I paid for it. If we have something, you know, if I got this, if I can have a nice, good horse for $6,500, it's worth that to me. But if I get a $10,000 horse just because I got a $10,000 horse, it's not saying he's worth that just because I paid that. A thing is worth for what it can do for you, not what you paid for it. Yeah. I gotta see shield of prosperity, this and that. I gotta realize, I know it's a change. It's gotta be a change. But the very same heart that prompts me today to give might persuade me out of not giving tomorrow. the very same art. Timing, today, now, opportunities. Yeah. Money makes a good servant, but a bad master. How many times do I hold back the $50 that the neighbor could use because I'm waiting until he's in better shape or the conditions is in better shape? Just like all these guys were trying to tell us today. We got this and we're going to take care of this. And when it's our time to dive, we're going to dive and we're going to take care of this. How many opportunities do I waste because I thought the conditions weren't right? And let God, let go and let God. Yeah, it's sort of something. Prosperity. A true Christian or pilgrim will travel light. A true Christian or pilgrim will travel light. We're over in Africa. We're over in Russia, whatever, for 6 months. We're in a nice motel room, and we do our work every day. 5 o'clock is quitting time. We go home. We get showered. We walk the streets. We see tinkers, and we see Russian or African stuff. We buy it up if we want. And pretty soon, if we don't watch ourselves, the room is half full or three-fourths full. And we know in October, the plane's going to be in the airport. We got to go home. And that's not going along. It's pawning my soul off to temporal things and losing my soul. There's almost some stupidity involved, guys, because we lose focus. If I'm over there doing that, you know, why buy it up? You know, just live with it for 3-4 months or 2 months, then leave it set instead of taking that extra cash I spent and sending home to my wife for somebody that could be used for better things. Henry Ford said, after he had a lot of money, he said he was happier when he was a mechanic. We had dirt on his hands. I said already to the church, most of the time, if you don't have dirt under your fingernails, that's a sign you were working. If you don't have dirt there, most of the time you have it in your mind. If you don't have dirt under your fingernails, there's a good chance you're going to have dirt in your mind. Vanderbilt, we all know about him. He said taking care of $2 million is enough to kill anybody. It drove him nuts. Kept him up at night. We had an old neighbor used to own Shipshewana Auction, had a stubby arm, was up and at it Sunday mornings. His service didn't start to about 9:30, 10 in shore, I don't know, something like that. But he was up before the sun was. Sunday mornings, he was up. He drove all the way to Ligonier. Ligonier's about 10, 12, 13 miles. Cup of coffee. Couldn't sleep. I don't know how rich he was, but he had money. Got him out of bed early. Drove around Sunday mornings. There's a lot of things worse than drinking a cup of coffee, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, it did this. He could drive a car, you can do this, but when you get home, you're still doing this. Nice guy. I knew him. I knew his sons and all that, but it got him out of bed early. And I'm going like, you know, Sunday mornings, you know, just what it does. What we're handed down, Myron was saying where we were born, when we're handed down things, are we willing to pass it on? Let's take the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee has got the river of Jordan comes down there, and I think it descends about 12 foot a mile or something like that between Galilee and the Dead Sea. But Galilee is fish, and it's clear, and it's nice, and it's got reeds, and it's got flowers, and it's got swans, and it's a lake, it's a pond, it's great. You can swim in it. After that, it goes down here 12 foot a mile, and it goes down to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is just hogging it. Gallons, millions of gallons every day. I don't know. I saw the figures already. It's just hogging it. No outlet. What's its name? Dead Sea. It's not passing on what's coming in the front. Myron showed us a good picture about the kids getting started, trusting Dad. Are we willing to push that on, pass it on? If I say it right. St. Francis, the guy back in 1700s, the guy that said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. He's got a nice prayer. And the back end of this prayer is what I want. At home I can get it. I think I can get it. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. where there's injury, pardon, despair, hope, doubt, faith, darkness, light, sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to console as to be consoled, as to love, as to love, as to be loved. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And here's another one of his quotes. Keep a clear eye toward life's end. Do not forget your purpose and destiny as God's creature. What you are in his sight is what you are and nothing more. Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, fading symbols of honor, trappings of power, but only what you have given, a full heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. It's what we send on ahead. Yeah, it's really something. Again, back to the decay of the money. Us guys with the gray hair, what do we do with all this? And the next generation, what do they catch? Back to the day. Today, life is in session, and it's not coming back. My wife's mom and dad moved to us a couple years ago, COVID year, and he was dealing with congested heart then already. About 2 years later, he died. In the last 6 months, and you guys do this, I'm not bragging, but in the last three, 4 months, 5 months, I don't know, six, he was in a wheelchair. And so, yeah, showered him, kept him clean, took care of him. The comment he made the most in that last sunset of his days was this: how did I get here so quick? It was mind-boggling. 82 years old. How did I? The other guys were trying to tell us, warning us about how fleeting time is. Over and over, he was a preacher. He inspired some things in life and all that, but that was a mystery to him. How did I get here so quick? It was just the old people. Yeah. Do your giving while you're living. Then you're knowing where you're going. I don't have much more. I like to quit a little early. You guys, your cup was way full before I started, so I want to cut this caboose a little short and let you guys go home. In our prayer book, the back end, there's a lot of things in there, rules of a godly life, baptismal questions, whatever. The very last paragraph, of that godly rules of a godly life goes something like this. I'm going to try and get it. Finally, in your conduct, be friendly toward everyone, a burden toward none. Toward God, live a holy life. Toward yourself, be moderate. To your fellow man, be fair. In life, be modest. In your manner, courteous. In admonition, friendly. In forgiveness, willing. In your promise, true. And in your speech, wise. And out of a pure heart, gladly share of the bounties you receive. Got a couple of little other little notes here, but yeah, what we do today, I can't catch everything. The money is the most universal thing that buys us anything except happiness, and the most universal passport that gets us to anywhere but heaven. Just more stuff like that. I think that's about it. Got some Bible verse references here. So I think I'm going to cut her off there. It's been a good day. And you guys, like I said, you were full before I started. So let's remember me first, a shelter, eternal shelter, and not a showroom. It's his. Blessings to you.